Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We like to make sure that you don't miss things here. So we've got this little segment here called In Case You Missed It, ICYMI. Interviews and moments from around SEN and the SENZ network. We realise you can't listen to the radio all day, so we try to bring you the best bits every now and then that you might have missed, including Logan Swinkles, including our very own Danny Lee, who is now a much richer man than he was, even though I think he's quite financially dependent, independent anyway. But he had an interesting chat, didn't he, with Izzy and Kempe?
Yes, this morning. I believe they recorded it on Friday, just before they went out to their weekend, so starting things off in style. I know there's been a lot of speculation around his contract, and he's been quite tight-lipped around it himself. You know, we've been reporting, a lot of people have been reporting, that he's only on a three-tournament deal, and the one coming up in Orlando then would be his last, and so he wouldn't actually be playing in Adelaide. But from what I've been gathering, looking further into it, he is actually on a multi-year deal. Don't know of what his signing bonus is, but it could be 2 years, it could be 3 years. So he's definitely on the live tour for a while. And yeah, here's just a little snippet of Danny Lee with the Brekkie Boys. And if you want to catch the rest of it, make sure you check it out on all your favorite podcast platforms.
You need to make your own luck, Danny, and you sure did that. Look, it's been a big couple of years for yourself, obviously making that decision to head to the LIV. Like, what's the difference this week, Danny? How did you get over that mental hump to win this event, and did you really think that you'd never win again?
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few times even on the PGA Tour I had a chance to win, but there's only always the one guy just plays out of his mind, and when that happens, you know, you gave your best, and just it is what it is. But and then I was off the track for about a year and a half with the injuries and all that stuff, and starting this year, I put more effort in my game. I spend more time out on the golf course instead of working out, doing other stuff. So I was more focused, and I mean, my ball striking was always been there, just around the greens, and putting I was struggling with. And then sure enough, I found my way of solution to putt, and it's great to see that I'm getting very positive results.
Oh, I love it. The vibe is what you're seeing from the outside. Look, you know, I haven't been lucky enough to head to an LIV event right now. So just add a bit more to that. So you're obviously heading over to Adelaide to the Grange. So you're coming down under. If we're able to head to that event, like, what are some of the things the crowds can expect from a spectator's point of view?
For me, playing in Adelaide is very close to New Zealand, which is good, and I'm sure a lot of the New Zealanders going to come over and watch the play. And even the Australians are very supportive when I play out here. So I'm sure it's going to be a lot of crowd. Even I think it was 4 or 5 months ago, there 20,000 tickets were sold out every day for 3 days already, and then they're trying to generate more tickets because it's being so popular over there, and I cannot wait to go over there and play in front of the home crowds.
I was just going to say, top 50 on the Forbes list too, after putting away 4 million big pingers in your pocket, Danny. Hey, mate, do you realise how big you are still in New Zealand? Do you still call New Zealand home, and do you love the support that you get from down under?
Yeah, of course. I mean, there's a Korean side of me, and I'm always introduced me. I've on the first tee, they always introduce me as a New Zealand and from Rotorua. So, yes, that fact never changes.
Which, can you just give an aspiring golfer like myself who thinks he's not bad but actually down under, he terms the hack it, just a bit of advice if I want to have a decent crack at golf, Danny?
For me, I know for average amateur golfers there, for me, golf is all about who can repeat the same motion every time. So obviously the easiest way for you to do that is spend a lot of time on the range or on a golf course, keep practicing that shot over and over again, and teach your body without you kind of think about what you're doing. So if you guys have time to go out there and practice a little bit or play nine holes at least twice or three times a week, there'll be a game changer, I think.
Very interesting. Some thoughts here on Danny Lee. Very confident of the big numbers going to live. I'm not sure. I haven't heard anyone from New Zealand going over to watch it. There's some very big name golfers that you never get to see, of course, unless you go to America, or used to go to America. So I suppose that is the case. 20,000 per day. I find that very, very interesting. That would be much bigger crowds than they're getting in America. Much, much bigger crowds. Right, okay, we'll keep an eye on that. It's not too far away, the Grange in Adelaide. We'll talk to Nick Ahern about it, actually, after 11 o'clock. Bluey McLennan on SENZ Afternoons. This is what Bluey had to say.
I wanted to talk to you about Sean Johnson. Like, I think everyone's delighted about how well he's going, and I'm pleased you pointed out his defence, because he made some telling tackles, some brave tackles. His mindset seems to have changed, and we've been trying to figure out what's enabled him to do that. Is it the players around him? Is it Tamati Martin is giving him options? Wade Egan, admittedly not yesterday, but gives him options to free himself up, not to be the sole fulcrum on fifth tackle, fourth tackle. We need a break. We go to Sean. There's more cowboys in our lineup now that can swing the lasso and fire the gun.
But 100%. You know, I think you've just, you know, pretty much answered the question there, really, Saffy. It's a bit of everything. And, you know, it really is. And it always is. You know, there's always little contributing factors. And when your teammates are, you know, are switched on and they're just so connected, it's like it freed up, Sean. Like, there's been times over the years, the last couple of few years, where, you know, I'd be watching Sean, and I'm a great admirer of Sean's. You know, he's a wonderful, wonderful athlete, and he's a great human being, you know. And I, you know, it felt like he had the world on his shoulders, and he was trying to organise too much.
Mm.
But it feels like that the team are a lot more connected, a lot more switched on, and they all know their roles, and it's freeing him up to get those little personal things done really well. And it's so good to see. And, when he's switched on and he gets going, he's a terrific athlete.
Yeah, very interesting. I love hearing from Bluey McLennan. Actually, we should get him on a lot more ourselves, because his passion for league has never, ever died. Wyatt Crockett, the record-breaking super rugby player for the Crusaders, on the rugby run with his former teammate, Justin Marshall. A meeting of the minds, this.
I don't think it's any secret that the All Blacks, and Ian Foster in particular, have looked at the rest of the world and the way that the props are now playing the game, and how mobile they are, and how many involvements they have. You know, from what you've seen in terms of what we've already got what's coming through, who's sort of been impressing you out there? And do you think that we are able to make that adaption to get more involvement and more mobile with the props that we've got coming through?
Yeah, mate, we've got some, like, and you have to just look firstly at the Crusaders and their young props, obviously with Fletcher Newell out injured at the moment, but he was outstanding last year, coming off the bench for the All Blacks, and really added some good go forward in that midfield. And, you know, it is, you're so right, they do actually now form up, which is quite bizarre, but they form quite a critical part of a team attack, having a ball carrier, a ball-carrying prop that can actually really give you some good punch and go forward. Not dissimilar to like a league front rower, you know, so giving you that real good go forward and that fast ball so that then the, you know, guys out wide can play off that. So obviously Fletcher Newell and Tamaiti Williams looks, to me, looks like a player that we'll see wearing that black jersey in the near future. And yeah, what he's doing from a ball carrying perspective is very impressive. And as I say again, not unlike a league front row where they providing that good punch, that late footwork and getting that quick ball. So it's, I think we're in really good stock there, particularly from, a Crusaders point of view. But there are some others around the country that are doing a great job there too.
Absolutely. Nice to hear from Mike Crockett. It's been a while, actually. And just finally, let's head across the Tasman, shall we? Matt Burke. Love Matt Burke's company. What a character he is. And what a footballer he was, too. On Eddie Jones and his toughest challenge with the Wallabies that he believes.
Yeah, so that's the interesting debate, isn't it? When he came across and, you know, he did a press conference a couple of weeks ago. Now, it was a 45-minute press conference. He went back to his old school at Matraville High, and that's where the Ellis grew up as well. And it was a 45-minute press conference, and all I wanted to do was put my boots on again, you know, and play. he was just saying the right things to get Australian rugby behind, or the supporters behind Australian rugby again. He will have that fire and brimstone. The biggest thing that he needs to come up with is, you know, they're not getting a whole bunch of new players. It's the same players. How is he going to turn those players into better players, smarter players, more physical players? And I think that's the biggest thing we've seen from Australian perspective, is that physicality is just off. I think it highlighted in that South African test in Sydney after they lost in Adelaide the week before. The box came out and just monstered Australia. So that's the biggest one that we're seeing at the moment. So how is he going to do that? You know, he has his ways. He has his, you know, he'll spark these guys up mentally as well as physically. He'll ask them to, you know, obviously lift and push and run to get bigger, stronger, faster. But it's the mental game that I think is the, one of the biggest things he has. And look, at the moment, you're right, his quips in the media at the moment, he's just sort of, you know, pushing all the right buttons to rugby league and sort of, you know, sort of encompassing sort of, you know, the old support and garnering the old support of sort of 20 years ago and sort of don't get lost to the system. It will be tough, though. You know, it will be tough. So what, two Bledisloes, rugby championships in between that, and then a game against France before the World Cup. I mean, that's a fair resume that you need to tick off. And you know, looking at sort of the stats of where they are and where Australia sit at the moment, you know, invariably it could be 0-5, it could be 1-5.
Good man, Matt Burke. Why they don't use him more often on Television Australia, I do not know. It is 9:48 here on SENZ. We'll be back shortly with news of a multi.